In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Text for our sermon this morning is our second lesson in John's first epistle. Includes these words. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. God's Word. In the name of our risen and ruling Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters in Christ of our Heavenly Father. So, what does Jesus' resurrection prove? You may very well get that question by someone asking you that. What is the answer to that which we are about to confess in the Nicene Creed of Jesus? On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. Jesus' resurrection proves that he is the Son of God and paid for our sins. It proves that our bodies one day will rise glorified like his. It means that he has gained the victory and has overcome the world. And all who are born of God, all believers in him, have his victory that overcomes the world as our victory that overcomes the world. It is no burden for newborn babies to love their mother or father when the parents are holding them. It's no burden for a newborn baby to be loved by an older brother and sister. Last week saw Siblings Day on Facebook, and there was a picture of my youngest granddaughter, Hannah, when she was just a few days old and home, being cuddled and snuggled and kissed by her two older sisters. That was no burden for Hannah to be loved by her sisters. So that is also true of us as the children of God. As newborn children by the Holy Spirit, born of God, it's not a burden for us to be loved by our Heavenly Father. It's not a burden for us to love our Heavenly Father. And John says, the Father also loves his child as well. As we love our Heavenly Father, it's not a burden for us to love each other as the brothers and sisters in the faith. Our victorious life, our victorious faith in Christ's victory works that love. It's no burden to love God, to love one another, because that love is the natural result of justifying faith. And so John writes about that victory that overcomes the world. We see, first of all, it comes by the power of our faith, because the power of our faith is the risen and living Christ. And secondly, that it takes great delight in doing God's will, which is that we love him and that we love one another. Our justifying faith that we have because we are born of God, that is born by God. God gives us that new birth of faith as a free gift. Our justifying faith stands on two pillars. One of those pillars is Christ's baptism. The other pillar is Christ's death on the cross. John says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. At Jesus' baptism, He placed Himself bearing our sins under sinners' baptism, under our baptism, as He began His public work of fulfilling the law as our substitute. When Jesus was crucified and He suffered and died on the cross and shed His blood, He was fulfilling that work by offering that holy life as our substitute, as our sacrifice under the wrath and punishment of His Father in heaven. So Jesus is our Savior by water and by blood. We know this because the Holy Spirit testifies to us about these truths concerning Jesus. The gospel reveals these truths, and it creates our saving faith in these truths. It is with these truths that we overcome the world, because it was with these truths that Jesus overcame the world. And His victory that overcame the world is ours, because we're born of God. That truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior by water and blood is the truth that counteracts all the slander and all the lies that are spoken against Jesus in this world. They overcome all the slander and all the lies and all the mistreatment that we receive because we are the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters in Christ. The power of our faith, which is the proof of the risen and living Savior, Jesus Christ, is what gives our faith the ability to overcome the world. This is the truth. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And then the apostle asks and answers his own question. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You and I are living in a sinful world. We are sinners in a sinful world. We are bearing the results of sin in this world. And yet, God says, you have overcome the world. We have overcome our sin. We have overcome our guilt. We have overcome the power of the devil, all by Jesus' victory. We overcome the lies and the schemes of Satan. We overcome the persecution that the unbelieving world places upon ourselves. We have the new man who rises in our daily lives as we drown our old Adam in the waters of our holy baptism that Christ went under also for us. Living a life of justifying faith is no burden for us. Oh, it's a fight, but it's not a burden. And we don't live our lives as if there is some uncertain outcome at the end. In Christ's victory, we overcome the world, not only now as we daily say no to sin, as our faith endures every test and temptation and cross we have to bear, but finally we overcome the world when we gain that promised inheritance of our resurrection from the dead and the reuniting of our bodies with our souls for an eternity in heaven. Jesus' empty tomb is the proof that we overcome the world. It is the power of our faith. The power doesn't lie in our believing. The power lies in the one in whom we believe, who is the risen and living Savior, who is our Savior by water and blood, who has overcome the world by His resurrection from the dead. You and I fight the good fight of faith daily in our ceaseless conquest to overcome sin and evil in our lives. But this Sunday after Easter, we're reminded that we don't fight and don't have to fight in our own strength. We can't, but we fight in the power of the resurrection of our Lord. You and I realize that our living faith is more than a bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. It's more than some pious platitude by some success preacher that says, you have to learn to love yourself right before you can love others right. It gets over the lies that my having to obey the commandments, that my having to love God, that my having to love you is some kind of a burden that I have to carry like a backpack full of rocks up a mountain, constantly weighing me down and fighting and burdening me against my will. Our obedience to God's command doesn't go against our will, does it? That is our will. His commandments. It doesn't go against our will to trust in Jesus and believe in Jesus as our Savior. That's our new will in our faith being born of God. It's not a burden for me to love you. I want to do that because I know that my resurrected Savior has loved me and has given Himself for me. The victory that overcomes the world comes by the power of our faith. And that faith takes great delight in doing God's will, which is love. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, I love God, but I'm going to keep right on disobeying His commandments? Or, you know, I love God, but I don't really think the Bible's right when it says that this is a sin, or that that's a sin, or that you have to believe in order to be saved. You can't love God and love disobeying the commandments. Those two things just don't go together. The definition of love for God is keeping His commandments. How do I show that I love my Father? I obey His will. To love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. That's my desire. I have forgiveness when I don't. And that forgiveness moves me again to desire that perfection. And John says, whoever loves the Father loves his child. We love one another. That's God's will. It is God's will that we don't hold grudges, that we hang on to old, that every time we fight, we drag up some sin or some mistake or some failure in the past to use as a club to beat the head of the other person. It's not a burden. It's not a heavy weight to forgive and to love and to move on in Christian fellowship and Christian love. Because if you love the Father, then you love His children. And His child is not only His eternal Son, Jesus Christ, but you and I are brothers and sisters. We are the children of God. What a horrific lie that Satan tells us that being a child of God means that I have to obey the Ten Commandments. And that that's really a burden on me to have to do that. Rather, the psalm writer writes in Psalm 119, verses 13 to 16, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Our victory over the world enables us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. It enables us to take great joy and great delight in meditating on God's word, particularly knowing His will. Do you know the Ten Commandments and Luther's explanations? When you are tempted to sin, do you know what God's will is written on your heart as a way of curbing your sinful nature? Do you teach that to your children so that when they, pardon me, are tempted to sin, that they know their Heavenly Father's will? They know what God wants them to do or not do. As you and I appreciate God's love for us in Christ, as we walk by once again the empty tomb of our Lord and Savior and really appreciate and believe the fact that it's actually empty, that is our victory over the world as we are born of God. That gives us that desire and that ability to strive to keep God's will. We don't see sin as a contradiction of Scripture. We don't see God's love as a license to sin or to go ahead and do what we want because we're forgiven anyway. That's not really love. Paul uses the strongest language here to express the principle by which we believers live. When the new birth has taken place in our heart, there is a wonderful power of love that exists in us to overcome the world. Ours is that victory over sin, death, and hell. Ours is a victory over this sinful life. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave proves just that. Luther wrote about it this way in his commentary to the Galatians. Quote, "After I have apprehended Christ by faith, have died to the law, have been justified from sin, and have been freed through Christ from death, the devil, and hell, I do good works. I love God. I thank Him. I practice love toward my neighbor." Unquote. In the three ecumenical creeds, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He approved that by His resurrection from the dead in accordance with the Scripture. We acknowledge our trust in God, our Heavenly Father, and our membership in God's family as brothers and sisters through the sanctifying work of the Spirit who makes us born of God. And when we do this from the heart, we are expressing that faith that we are born of God. Therefore, faith is our power, and obedience of God's will is our great delight. Amen.